Hello, good evening, and welcome to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. Sam, happy Easter.
Happy
That's the first
Easter.
Thing we should say. If you're celebrating Easter, happy Easter holidays to anybody. Happy Easter Sunday to anyone that's celebrating it. The FPL Family household is a little bit snivelly this morning, isn't it? There's a little bit of a... What's kicking in here? A bit of flu, a little bit of a cold. What's going on here?
I don't know.
If you need to blow your nose during the stream, mute your mic and just... It's all right. You can
just
blow
not.
Your nose.
Yeah, I wasn't quite right on Thursday morning when I was recording the FPL pod.
It's the stress of the wild card from this week,
Possibly.
Isn't it?
Possibly.
The stress.
Got up on Thursday morning and thought,
Don't feel myself.
Don't feel quite right.
Didn't feel quite right, Sky, did you?
Did
over
the
Saturday.
FPL pod.
Yeah.
And then by the time Friday, then I did the Q&A with Az on Friday night and I got off that and I thought, no, I really don't feel that right. And I seem to have developed a rather horrible cold of some kind.
Mm.
So anyway, yes.
Was it wildcard stress then? How stressed out was doing the wildcard this week?
No, I didn't find it that stressful,
actually.
You
didn't seem that stressed, to be fair.
No.
You felt pretty locked in.
Yeah.
Even 2 or 3 days before.
I felt like I kind of, apart from goalies, and, you know, they're always causing me stress.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
The ones I didn't go with, of course, get clean sheets this weekend. The ones I did go with, of course, did not.
Of course.
But that's just standard. The ones I sold also, you know, doing all right as well, Martinez. Thanks very much. but yeah, goalies are a bone of contention in my team regardless, aren't they?
Yes.
So I think, yeah, for me, I didn't find it too stressful. I quite like wildcarding over an extended period of time, like an international break. I find that way less stressful than...
Yeah.
In a couple of days, because yeah. I think over an international break, you start creating it, and bit by bit, you feel like,
yeah,
it's starting to fall into place.
Doing it for this game, would you say, would be quite stressful in the next 48 hours, doing it before Tuesday's deadline?
Yeah, I wouldn't fancy that much.
I'm considering it.
Yeah, I know, you're a
nutter. I'm considering it. I'm putting it out there. I'm considering it. I don't massively want to do it, but there's a few things that have happened this weekend...
Yeah.
That have made me think it might be a good time to do it. The Ollie Watkins injury is one of them.
Yeah.
Now, just as we were coming on, we saw a couple. And by the way, guys, hello, welcome to the stream. We're going to talk about the games. We'll do our teams. We'll do all the usual stuff we see on a Sunday. We'll say hello to you guys as well in just a second. But just as we were coming on, yes, Ollie Watkins. Apparently, he's got to have a scan. They're not sure how bad it is. Unai Emery's hoping that it's not too bad.
Okay.
But none of that feels like I'm going to be ready in the next week or so, does it? Because we've got the Man City away game coming up on Tuesday.
Yep.
So there's a reasonable chance that if you own him, you might even be benching him anyway, particularly if he's got a little niggle like this in his hamstring. But then for next weekend, they've got a reasonable fixture, haven't they?
Brentford
at home. But then it's Arsenal away. And then he doesn't have a double game week. So Watkins is on my mind in terms of a bit of a sell. Then we've got the Gusto injury as well. So we're not kind of sure what's happened there. Not that it affects me, but it affects you. Lascelle is also out, if you
ACL,
didn't see that news.
Yeah.
That is terrible news for Lascelle. He's out for 6 to 9 months.
And you know
with
what?
An ACL. Really, really bad
it's
injury.
A really frustrating one with the wild card now, because I was so happy with the Lascelle pick, because it enabled everything. It enabled everything else to just work. And it was exactly what I needed. It was a player that played a double in 37.
Absolutely.
I could have him
so
for the nice fixtures.
Didn't
it was literally perfect.
Yeah.
And then I was driving to Spurs on Saturday while that game was on. And Max and I weren't listening to it. He was chatting. And he loves a bit of music, doesn't he? He was singing away in the car.
Yeah.
And so I was relying on updates from the guys in the Slack. And my watch was started pinging. And it was Matt going... That injury to Lascelles doesn't look good.
Yeah.
And I was like, what?
Yeah.
And I thought, right, just get to Spurs and then we'll check it. And when I got there and he'd gone off, I thought, oh no, this is... I mean, actually, as it happened, they didn't keep a clean sheet anyway. But at that point, I was
And you know what? That's the third or fourth quite serious knee injury that Newcastle have had this year.
They're getting injuries left, right and centre, Newcastle.
I don't want to speak badly of the way that they manage that club, obviously, but there's got to be something in that, isn't there? The amount of injuries they've had,
Maybe.
Serious injuries.
Yeah, quite bad injuries this
You've
year.
You've got to be looking at that going, well, are they rushing players back? Are they actually managing these players correctly?
Mm.
What's going on there? Because that's the third or fourth pretty major injury they've had.
Yeah.
Like Harvey Barnes only just coming back. We've got to talk about him because what a return
came back,
to action from Harvey Barnes. Unbelievable, particularly that second goal was unreal. But what... something not quite right at Newcastle in the way they're managing players, in my opinion. But listen, it is bad for Lascelles. It's bad. And if you bought him in on wildcard, like you did last week, to enable a lot of other things, you've got to get rid now. And really, you've got to spend money to get rid because he's so cheap. that you can't really go sideways, or you certainly can't go down, can you?
Well, the only only place to go that's sideways is to go back to Charlie Taylor. But the reason I moved off Charlie Taylor is because, well, one, Burnley, and two,
just Burnley,
and two, they don't have a double, which Newcastle did. So, and you know, it's just a real shame. And so, spoiler alert, I've already made a transfer.
You've made a transfer already?
Yeah, it doesn't involve Lascelles at the moment.
All right.
But that's because I left my wildcard squad with zero in the bank.
Right.
Which I never do. I always leave...
a little bit in your back pocket.
Always leave like 0.5 usually I aim for. But I couldn't make it work. And
for a rainy day?
But I also knew my transfer this week was going to give me a rainy day fund. So in my head I was like, right, well, we won't have anything going into 30, but by 31, I'll make one transfer and that'll give me over £1 million in the bank. And that over £1 million in the bank then is my rainy day fund. But that rainy day fund, if Gusto is also injured and Anthony Gordon's now suspended.
Oh, we've got to talk about him. What a roller coaster of emotions that was for his owners.
Did you see the video clip from, who was it, TNT that had that coverage?
No.
So
of what, Anthony Gordon?
Yeah, so they were showing the game and it perfectly plays out that they're giving out the Man of the Match award as Anthony Gordon is getting sent off.
Oh,
so they're giving it to Anthony Gordon and they're talking about how, oh, he's done this and he's been brilliant and he's done all of this. And literally as they're saying it, and they're like, Anthony Gordon, and the ref just red cards him and they're like, oh, he seems to be going off. Oh, no, he's been sent off.
Yeah,
they're
Sorry,
I think they still gave
Barbie
it to
Barbie Barnes,
him.
Man.
They might have still given it to Anthony Gordon, I'm not sure. But it was really funny. It was just one of those perfectly timed, you couldn't have timed it better if you tried.
Crazy game for Anthony Gordon. We'll talk about that in just a second. Let's say hello to a few people, Sam. We've got Cyberdebt is in, Nigel the Crab, hello mate, in Admonerating. Very nice to see you, mate. Adam Stevo is in. A lot of hammy injuries going around as well. You know what, Adam? You're absolutely right. There's something to be said for the fact that all of these players are playing basically, what, sometimes 9, 10 more minutes per weekend, which is another, you know, 10%. If you add another, what, 3 or 4 or 5 games onto a season, that's really what we're talking about here. That's a lot more games and these teams can't deal with it. And we're seeing injuries. And Adam's absolutely right. There's so many hamstring injuries this season. And it doesn't help. I wouldn't necessarily put all the blame on the extended time and stuff for what's happening at Newcastle. I think Newcastle...
Managing
their players badly, in
but
my opinion.
Possibly, but also they've had European football this season, which they haven't been used to having in a season. So, you know, you add those additional games into a season and the players aren't used to it. You know, same with Aston Villa, right? They've got players that are playing lots and lots and lots more games than they are ever used to playing in
100%,
the season.
100%. 100%. Ken's Bromsgrove is in. Hey, Ken's. Nice to see you, mate. Thank you for the super chat. Happy Easter, both. Happy Easter
Happy
to you,
Easter,
sir.
Happy Easter,
Ken's. What a week of footy that ended with a snooze fest of a game. We're going to talk about that in a sec. On Watkins, thinking of him into Mateta to afford Foden into Salah. How do you feel about that, Sam? How do you feel about Mateta coming in? Got the double game week in 34, which is a nice looking one for Palace, if I remember rightly. Two home games. And it enables him to go Foden into Salah.
Mateta's definitely on my radar. Okay. He's one of those players that I think him and Cunha, both of them were a kind of players that I'm thinking about for 34. I actually don't mind the early move on him if it enables you to get to somebody like Salah, because you have to sacrifice somebody unless you're wildcarding to get Salah in. So
there's a compromise to be made if you want
to be made. I actually don't mind the Mateta compromise because he's the sort of player that you could also bench in the weeks going up to the double if you didn't want to play
differential as well. No one's got him. Yeah. Right, no one's got him. Wilco is in. Hello,
here
mate.
He is.
Very nice to see you, Wilco. FP Hell is in. Scored 76 points. So not really that
not so much hell. Heaven.
For FPL Hell. Heaven. FPL Heaven this week with 76 points. 74 points, very nice score. Civilian X is here. You guys are legends. Thank you, Civilian. That's kind of you. Also, You'll Never Walk Alone, league win loading. Listen, Civilian X, there is...
I think it's yours.
Plenty
How
of time
How long have I been saying this now,
to go.
You've
plenty
got to start trusting your wife.
Go. No. Plenty of
you
time
go.
To go. Plenty
it's,
of time to go.
It's coming
We've
home.
Got, what have we got? Spurs have got to come to Anfield. We've got to go to Man U next weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Where we've just lost.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
What?
Manchester United. We can start with them, if you like. Because, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, but that's a typical Right, we'll do that in a minute. But that's typical. Man United go away to, what is it, Brentford?
Yeah.
And can't be bothered. Whereas when we come to Old Trafford, trust me, they'll turn up.
They can't turn up.
Sam, they did 2 weeks ago in the cup. They beat us. Trust me, they're going to turn up. And then we've got the Merseyside derby at Goodison. Sevilla next. Loads of games to go, mate.
Hang on, not suggesting that Pickford is going to turn up and like... Actually, to be fair, the couple, was it last season that we got Pickford.
Yes.
At...
Hope there's a pop mic on that microphone.
There actually isn't. The pop mic's on that one.
All right.
On... When was that? What season was that? We stood outside the Spurs stadium watching Liverpool play Everton in the lunchtime kickoff. We were sat with James from Planet FPL and we watched Liverpool Everton on the terrace outside White Hart Lane.
Yeah. No, outside Spurs stadium, not out of White Hart Lane.
It's still White Hart Lane.
Oh, you're still calling it White Hart Lane. Okay, fine.
Come on, man.
Super chat from Joseph Maloney. Thank you, Joseph. Hey, Samily. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter,
mate. Hope your game week is a good one. Mixed here in the FPL family, Joseph. We'll talk about that in a sec. I got 66 with a green arrow. Very nice. Very, very good that, Joseph.
So Joseph Maloney?
Yeah, Joseph Maloney.
We had a nice
with
chat.
A
had a Patreon chat last week.
Nice score. Another one of our Patreon supporters, George, is here. George Day, how are you doing, mate? Listen, big Brentford fan,
I've got a Patreon call with George later on.
Big Brentford fan, George. And he and I had a chat briefly on Slack today about how on earth they got a draw out of that. I mean, I just...
What was that stat I read to you earlier at lunchtime? Was it Manchester United 80... Was it 80... No, Brentford... 85 touches in the Manchester United box.
Most of any team.
In the Premier League for 3 years.
For 3 years. Unbelievable. 30-something shots. It's just mental. Crazy.
And George's season ticket holder, right? Goes every week.
He was at the game. He said it was just the most frustrating game he's ever been to because they completely dominated and then Mason Mount just pops up. I said to you, didn't I, 20 minutes from in, I was just like, United will nick this 1-0. They'll just nick it. And when they did, I was just like, that is unbelievable. So I was so pleased. Sorry, United fans. I was so pleased when Brentford got the equaliser because they deserved it. They absolutely deserved
it. They did deserve it. Well, they deserved to win the game.
Mohar is in. FPL family, the best ever. Oh, thank you, Mohar. Appreciate it, mate. Appreciate it.
This is a lot of love in the chat today.
A lot of love today. Must be this good Easter vibe going on today. Paul Cook. Sorry, Lee. City will still win the league. Paul, listen, loads of time to go. There is all to play for, Paul. I would not disagree with you. Torben Nielsen is in. How are we doing, mate? Andrew Yee, nice to see you, mate. It was a miracle. Manchester United got a draw. No chance. A miracle happens again. And we turn up at Anfield, especially... after 2 weeks ago. I've got a feeling that it's at Old Trafford, isn't it? I think. We've got Sheffield United at home. Then we're away at Old Trafford. And then we're Palace at home before the double game. I think, Andrew. I think it's at Old Trafford. So, listen, anything can happen up there. Daniel Banks, he says, did anyone else forget that Mason Mount went to Man United? Had you forgotten that?
I know. I knew he was there. He is the forgotten boy, though, isn't he? Yeah. He's been injured for the whole season, hasn't he?
Yeah. Whole host of you guys. So, guys, thank you very much for joining us here on FPL Family. Give us a like on the video if you're enjoying the live stream. If you're new around here, obviously hit that subscribe button while you're with us. We would love for you to do that. That helps us to grow the channel and get to new audiences. Helps build this little community of FPL managers that we've got here on a Sunday night. So, guys, thank you for doing that. Let's, Sam, get on with... some of these games. You said a second ago you wanted to start with a particular game. You want to start with Man U then?
Well, no, they were just so bad. So I got home.
Go on then, let's do that quick.
I got home from Spurs midway through the Aston Villa game.
Yes.
That was on before. And was quietly seething about Ollie Watkins having gone off. And then sat through this game. And I could not fathom. All I wanted really was Tony to be quiet. Because he was the only player that could really hurt me in this one.
Yeah.
There wasn't anyone else that was that heavily owned. So I just was praying for a Tony quiet day. But it was baffling to me that Brentford didn't get the win out of this game. Manchester United so bad. And I'm scouting them because going into the... Not now, because they've got some challenging fixtures, including the Liverpool game that we've been talking about.
Yeah.
But once we get to game week 35, the fixtures really swing for Manchester United.
Well, 34, they have got Sheffield United at home. I appreciate it's not a double.
It's a single, yeah.
But it's Sheffield United at home. It's not the end of the world, is it?
No, but that's what I mean. And then when you look beyond that, 35, 36, 37, which will be a double for them,
mm-hmm.
The fixtures are, they're highly investable. You can absolutely go there.
Highly now, investable? On the
fixture ticker.
On paper, highly investable.
So they're highly investable. So in my head...
What about after you've watched them?
Well, so this is the point, right? So I create my wild card and I'm like, right, let's create some opportunities. So let's have let's have a Gordon slot who could maybe be Garnacho if Gordon,
yeah,
you know, gets suspended, idiot, or something else happens. Let's have a flexible forward slot where maybe it could be Hoyland if I want to. Honest to goodness, I watched that Manchester United game and I was like,
What? Yeah. Another like, very inept performance.
I mean, I can understand Garnacho. I can understand people going for
just
Garnacho.
Just because he's cheap.
Because he's cheap. And people will be looking for a cheap midfielder option, particularly if they don't have Salah, because it might just create that opportunity to get him in.
I think there's so many games in this run-in for Manchester United. Like, they're almost a team at the minute where they honestly, like... And United fans, tell us in the live chat, because I know there's a few of you in, right? It's... Absolute. I've just got to ban this knobhead who's in here, right?
Oh, is it the Harry one
Watkins
again?
Watkins out for the season. He's not, right? So go away. Simon, if you're in, get rid of this knobhead again. It's the same guy from last week. So, Manchester United, they are such a Jekyll and Hyde team. It's like when we go to Old Trafford, they'll give us a game, right? But then they'll go away to Bournemouth in game week 33.
Yeah.
And they'll be... You know, they'll be inept again because it'll be, oh, can we be asked to go all the way to Bournemouth away? Can we be asked to go to the Vitality? It's a bit like that, isn't it? And that's what it felt like with Brentford today. Can we be asked to go all the way to London to play Brentford? Oh, we can't really, you know. And it's just like, I honestly don't know. So
the thing is,
I don't think that they're highly investable at all. No, I'm not going anywhere near them.
When you look at the fixtures from game week 34 onwards, probably from 35, because most people are going to target the double game week is for 34. They are highly investable. The issue I have is they are not playing like a team that are investable. And so looking for somebody that you can have from them just looks really horrible. It's really difficult. And I think when you've got somebody like Munez up top from Fulham, who's about the same price as Garnacho, I'd far rather have him in the cheap spot than you would Garnacho. I'd rather spend a little bit more on the fifth midfielder and have him instead. So, yeah, for me, Manchester United.
Brentford as well, investable. Brighton coming up next. Sheffield United at home in 33. No double in 34, just Luton. But the fixtures between now and the end of the season, I've taken this from Fantasy Football Scout. So bear in mind, this is not a Ben Crellin view where he's got the kind of game week 37 fixtures drafted in. This is what's on the Scout ticker right now. This is what's confirmed.
This is official.
Right? This is official, if you like. So bear in mind, game week 37 will look quite different by the time we get there because of double game weeks and stuff. But just look at Brentford's run, right? Even Aston Villa away in 32. I wouldn't say that's as red as perhaps the fixture ticker says it is. And apart from that, it's all pretty blue. So no double in 34. Tony on radar or Mbeumo? What I will say about Mbeumo is I thought he changed the game when he came on. I thought he really gave them a lease of life that they needed. He gave them a bit of a turbo injection.
But he's absolutely quality, isn't he?
Good player, isn't he, Mbeumo?
And I think, you know, what's the right phrase? It's, you know, you look back with a limited window, don't you? So when we look at players in FPL, we kind of go... Right, who's in really good form? When you're like looking over the last 2, 3, 4 weeks and you're looking at players that are in form. Because Mbeumo hasn't been around, because he's been injured for such a long time, you forget, I think, sometimes what a great asset he is. And actually, because he's only been coming off the bench in the last couple of weeks, you probably haven't really been looking at him in the way that you would have done had he started one of these games. But comes off the bench... He did change it because Brentford were all the quality, but no finish in that first bit of time against Manchester United. We were creating all the opportunities, but they weren't finishing their dinner. And Mbeumo comes on and it did change the game. So I think he's definitely on the radar. The issue I have is that, yes, the fixtures are nice for the next couple of weeks, but Brentford are likely to be a team that you don't invest in simply because... You've got other things and other priorities because you are thinking about... If you are free hitting in 34, I think Brentford are a team that you can target. If you are not free hitting in 34, you probably aren't targeting them because you're prioritising your Arsenals and your Liverpools and all of those assets.
Okay. All right. Super chat from Wilco. Thank you, mate, for the super chat. A lot of chocolate today, he says. A lot of chocolate.
Good, Wilco.
He said McAllister was top today. He was, mate. We're going to talk about Liverpool next, I think, because I want to talk about how good... Alexis McAllister was. Swapped Isak to Darwin last minute. Oh, Wilco,
I had such
mate.
A lovely, lovely patron. I've done loads this week.
You didn't tell him to do Isak to Darwin, did you?
No.
No, thank goodness. Oh,
we had such a... I don't know what I told him in the end. We talked for ages. I have such lovely chats with him. I feel like Wilco helps me with my own FPL decisions because he's quite calm. And I was very excited about Simicast. And Wilco, to be fair, called it spot on with the back line.
He did. Do you know what? He did. Because you then said to me, I've just spoken to Wilco. And because I was saying to you about Simicast,
yeah,
and Wilco was saying, no, he fancies Joe Gomez there. And I was saying, yeah, he's probably got a point because Joe Gomez played there in the season, played pretty well.
But I wanted Simicast.
And so it proved.
Because you know
so
how much I love that man.
Yeah, yeah. He said, left 1.4 in the bank, so probably need to sell Lascelles. You do, mate. Yes, he's out. He's done now.
We left that for a reason, though, Wilco. What did we left that 1.4 for a specific reason? Was it for Saka? I think we left that money to get from Madison to Saka.
Okay. He also says date went well.
Oh,
I don't know about this.
Oh, Wilco, because I haven't been feeling well. I haven't been in Slack. Wilco had a date on Saturday night, and as part of the date, they were playing FPL Challenge against each other.
Oh, they God, really?
They picked a team only from the fixtures that were being played while they were on their date. And I'm so here for this. I'm coming in the Slack in a minute. We get off this stream to find out how it went.
He's like an FPL Lothario, Wilco. Look at him. He's like, do you fancy a game of FPL Challenge? Like, he's like...
When he started talking to her, he came in the Slack and he said to us, amazing. Is it all right? She likes football. Do you think it's all right to ask if she plays FPL? Yes. We were like, yes.
Go on, Wilco. Go on. Are we giving relationship advice in the Slack now?
I feel like a bit of like a dating agency now.
Join us, patreon.com/FPL family. It's like FPL Tinder in there. It's like, it has another reason.
We're not dating each other.
You might get a little bit of FPL knowledge, but more to the point, you get dating advice.
We give out some relationship advice. Absolutely. We all encourage it.
Love that, Wilco. Love that. Cyberdet is in. Nigel the Crabby says, was Wilco talking about his Huang again?
It's called Only Huangs at the moment.
Not going there. Not going there. Instead, Sam, I want to talk about Liverpool 2, Brighton 1. And good Lord, do I want to talk about some of our players today, because there were some really, really good performances.
I'm going to get comfortable while Lee talks about Liverpool.
No, because I'm always, as usual, I'll be biased, right? Whereas you'll be unbiased. So
until I get to Spurs.
I thought Liverpool didn't wake up in the first 80 seconds. Obviously, we come out thinking, right, we're at home against Bournemouth, against Brighton. We're expected to win. You know, we'll go out and we'll, you know, make easy work of this, I think is what they felt. And straight away, lost the ball in midfield and Welbeck, to be fair, great strike. Great strike. So it was poor. Very, very poor start. After that, it got markedly better and improved massively in the second half. The intensity in the second half was much, much better. I don't know what they did at half-time. I don't know what Klopp said. It's the same with you lot, right? We said, didn't we, this afternoon, there was a lot of similarities between our game and your game this week in terms of first half, dreadful, second half, a lot better. And Liverpool were better in the second half. I can tell you, sitting there watching that game as a non-Salah owner...
You did not like it, did
you? It was very, very uncomfortable from an FPL perspective.
Yeah.
Obviously, from a football perspective, I was loving it, right? Because he was getting in all the right areas, he was getting shots away.
Yeah.
I think I read somewhere that's he had 12 shots in the game, which is the most he's ever had.
In a Premier League game.
In a Premier League game, which is bonkers.
Which is why he got no bonus points, though.
Well, quite. So he got the winning goal in that game, but no bonus points because there was too many shots saved or shots missed off target. And we know that that feeds the underlying negative BPS,
points,
right? So you're absolutely right. That's why he didn't get 3 bonus points, because he had a lot of shots and none of them went in. But you could just tell that actually that was... is that the noise of my camera going off? Hopefully not. What was that noise?
I don't know. Do you want me to check it?
Oh, I think it's all right. I think it's all right. Guys, I'm still messing about with the technology on my phone being connected to the live stream. So if for whatever reason the...
In case it's saying something.
Is it saying something? No, it's probably all right.
No, it's just saying pause or disconnect.
No, that's fine.
So
that's fine.
I'm just going
to
leave it.
The chat will tell me if the camera goes off.
I've got to get back in now without Josh drawing my mic.
But actually, I think I might have... semi-fixed the lagging thing. We had a bit of lag at the beginning of the last week's stream, didn't we? But I think hopefully it's a better experience for you tonight, guys. But what was I talking about? Yeah, I'm at the moment a Mo Salah owner.
I was amazed you didn't bring him in.
Well, it was only because it would have had to have been for Son, right?
Yeah, but I thought you might have wildcarded. In my
maybe.
Head, I was
yeah,
kind of...
maybe.
Do you know, if I'm really honest, I thought... you probably wildcarded and not told me, like you do sometimes. Like, I fully expected to get to Sky on Saturday morning.
I was never doing it last week. Although I am considering it this week. I am considering it this week because I want Mo Salah in my team. Right?
And is this
want him in my team.
But, so are you thinking about it because you want to keep Son?
Not necessarily. We'll talk about it later on. We'll talk about it because I have put together a bit of a wild card draft as well. You ain't going to like it.
Why? Because it's very
there's not a lot of Spurs and there's a lot of Liverpool.
But that's not necessarily the wrong thing, though.
Well, I know. And again, if you look at the fixtures and you look at the rest of the season and you just sort it based on, and I know there's going to be double game weeks later on, right?
Two for Spurs in the last 4 weeks.
Yeah. And that's and by if I do wild card or indeed just get rid of Son this week, it's that's not to say I'm not coming back for him at some stage. I probably will, right?
If you let him go, then he won't want to come back to you.
Well, there is that, right? There'll be some sentiment Son in there,
I'm
sure.
Loyalty,
but look, if it meant getting rid of, you know, look at Liverpool's run for the rest of the season. It just looks really good, which is I can see why a lot of people are saying that we're favourites for the title, right? Because the fixtures look good. I can't go into 31 with no Liverpool on my team. Salah's going to be overwhelmingly the captaincy, isn't he? He's, you know, whoever hasn't got him, they're going to be bringing him in and captaining him. So anyway, it was very, very uncomfortable not having Mo Salah, and I didn't like it. So I am gonna change it.
Could have been so much worse for you.
Yeah, great save by Verbruggen, wasn't it? Sort of last 5 minutes from Mo.
Yeah.
And then a couple of chances in the first half. There was one where Diaz scored what we thought was going to be a third goal. That was a Salah assist when he was like he had a, you know, he was a toenail offside or whatever. Diaz. So I think Lewis Dunk's bottom was just the right side of the line from his perspective. So, yes, I hated it. Yeah. I hated watching Salah and not having him in FPL. So I'm going to rectify that, right? As it happens, this week, not doing the Son to Salah transfer worked out because Son was great, got the goal, could have had more.
Oh,
I captioned him. That was the right choice. But in any other given week, given particularly what's coming up for Spurs versus what's coming up for Liverpool, including a double game week in 34 versus a Spurs blank, I want Mo Salah. So I'm doing everything I can to get him in. And I'll be thinking about what else I want from Liverpool. If I wildcard this week, it will be 3 Liverpool. I'm not sure what. And based on today's performance, it might not be Darwin. Because I didn't think he didn't look fit today. He didn't look fit. I don't know. Tell me what you think of the Darwin performance, because I've spoken a lot about Salah there. But I don't think he got in the game. He didn't have his usual intensity. He didn't look kind of like hyped for it. I thought Dunk had him in his back pocket most of the game. Just thought he got marked out the game, Darwin. And he didn't even, he wasn't even kind of putting in his usual work rate that makes space for the other two, although the other two did make very good use of the space that they had.
But there's
I still
a reason
think Darwin
why,
looked off it today.
But I think there's a reason why Klopp doesn't play South Americans after an international break most times.
Oh, Diaz did alright though.
Well, I know that, but Darwin doesn't ever really after an international break.
Yeah.
So for me, I watched it. Yeah, I didn't think he was great today, but I was still worried.
Do you think that Darwin gets the start against Sheffield United?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I think it was.
I'm not sure. Because it's only what? It's 4 days away. I think we're playing like, is it Wednesday or Thursday? I don't know. Somebody will tell us in the chat. I'm not sure. I think Cody will get a start. I think Gakpo will start. It's just whether he starts in the. If Cody starts, he'll be in the middle, I think. And then does Nunes start left or does Luis Diaz start left? Because Nunes came off after like 70 odd minutes today, whereas Diaz came off on like 86, 87.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure about the Nunes start. I think it will, but I'm not 100%. And from that perspective, it puts me off of him a little bit. Adam's saying it's Wednesday. George is saying it's Thursday. Cheers, guys. Cheers, guys. Wilco's saying Thursday. Ken's saying Thursday.
Wilco
right.
Would know.
We're saying Thursday. Adam has retracted his message, so I think Adam's got that wrong. Fair play, Adam.
It's Wednesday. It's Thursday.
Oh, Jesus,
it's Wednesday. Really? No, it's Thursday.
Thursday, Liverpool
versus
Sheffield United.
Yeah, Liverpool and Sheffield United and Chelsea and Manchester United on Thursday.
Okay, very good. What else from Liverpool then? So we'll all be, or certainly I will be, looking at more Liverpool this week if I go for the wild card.
I'm kind of intrigued by this statement.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at more Liverpool.
Yeah.
Fair enough, because you haven't got any.
Yeah.
So Salah and Darwin, fair enough. I can understand why you'd be looking at them. I'm intrigued by who you would treble up with, because the defence... Well, Alisson and Trent are supposedly due back on the 7th of April, which is the weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
So that pretty much would rule out investing in Kelleher or Bradley.
Yeah.
You've got Robbo, who was back in training yesterday. So that would affect the other side of the pitch, the Gomez slot.
Yeah.
So really, I think the only defender you could probably safely invest in...
Virgil.
...is Virgil.
Yeah.
yes, you could take a bit of a punt with your midfielder slots and go for a, I don't know, a Szoboszlai or a McAllister.
Yeah, yeah.
But those midfielder slots feel quite precious. Like, by the time you've got Salah and Saka,
yeah, yeah,
and you've probably got, definitely Palmer.
Yeah. That fifth midfielder slot is intriguing for me, though.
But are they cheap enough?
If there's people thinking about Garnacho and there's people thinking about... Who else is cheap in that slot?
Well, there's like people like Declan Rice people are thinking about.
If people
about.
Are thinking about that, then I think Maka needs to be in the conversation. I think he needs to be in the conversation.
So that's where you would go?
As a differential. Fine. Right, as a differential. I'm, you know, the obvious ones are there, right? Mo's there, obviously. Darwin's there, obviously. Luis Diaz is there, obviously.
Question.
Virgil's there, obviously.
If Anthony Gordon hadn't have got red carded,
yeah,
would you still be looking at McAllister in that spot?
I don't think so, because I'd be looking at that Anthony Gordon performance from the weekend and going, he looks pretty essential, particularly with the Newcastle run-in. So I'm not. This is not me saying rush out and buy McAllister. I'm just saying that he is central to absolutely everything we're doing.
Yeah.
And by the way, this is probably my Liverpool bias kicking in, because he's so good today, right?
He was.
But just
good
because
today.
He's so good doesn't mean he's essential for FPL.
See, yeah. And so this is my point: is you were talking about troubling up on Liverpool, and I'm with you with the fixtures. Like, this is not me negging on Liverpool in any which way, because the fixtures are definitely there to treble up.
It's just who do you
have? The double is there. Everything looks great. I think you're going to win the league. You want to go with that. I know that you hate it when I say that. You're out the FA Cup. I think that's important, because that's your focus is fully on this apart from the Europa League.
Yeah.
And so for me, you are a team that I'm looking at, but I'm looking at Liverpool thinking, that third Liverpool slot, it is so, so difficult. If Trent wasn't coming back soon, you'd go for Bradley all day long, because he's cheap. If Alisson wasn't coming back, you'd go for Kelleher. Fine.
You know he's back soon, don't you? Jota.
Yeah, but that makes it more complicated again, doesn't it?
It does. It does. Just makes it even harder, doesn't it?
So you're at this point where I'm looking at Liverpool and I think, well, Salah's locked. You're just going to have Salah. I think Darwin is a lock as well. I think if you your Liverpool assets, I think Darwin's a lock. I think the other spot, if you want one, it's really hard to know who's going to get the minutes. And of the ones that are going to get the minutes, who's going to be the best FPL asset? Because McAllister was brilliant today. But apart from that, he hasn't been an FPL asset
True. For
most of this season.
Yeah. Some of that, though, is because he's been playing in that six role, isn't he? And now Endo's there, he's playing eight, he's playing more advanced, he's in those areas that you want him to be. Nice comment from Adam in the chat. He's saying, McAllister's a little bit like a Douglas Luiz. He'll pop up with assists and the odd goal, so worth a punt. But I think we're all in vehement agreement that it would be a little bit of a punt if we were going there. If you're chasing in your mini leagues, I don't mind it, because the fixtures are there, the double's there. You know, he will get assists. He will get assists, Maka, and no one's got him, right? No one's got him. But I might be letting my Liverpool bias get the better of me there. I want to jump to your game because, again, you know, an unexpected goal fairly early on in the game by Luton, only for Spurs to come back into it via an own goal. And then Son, the saviour, as you know, not for the first time in this game. Before we dive into the game, though, Sam, I'd like to say hello to somebody in the chat. B Malkani is in
here.
The chat. I absolutely want to say hi to B, but you definitely want to say hi to B, and you did at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Is B okay with us talking about what she's doing?
No. Oh, yeah. But not
what she did on the pitch?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, tell people about that on the pitch.
Yeah.
Because that is
so B,
ace.
B has been one of our patrons for a long, long time now. And he's the guys who are in here, who are in the Slack, will testify that she is an absolutely brilliant... Brilliant part of our Slack
Spurs
community.
Fan, you know.
And she's a Spurs fan. And she has set up, alongside some of the other ladies that she, you know, Spurs female supporters, a Spurs official Spurs supporters club just for women.
Mm.
Which, you know, sometimes I write for Scout on International Women's Day every year. I kind of write something and I put it out. And a couple of years ago, I wrote about my experiences going to Spurs when I was a kid and how... I used to look around and there'd been just no women there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'd be there with my dad and it was very male dominated. And I stood on Saturday, got to the game, and I was so worried I was going to be late and miss it, because we were at Sky and I had to get from Austerlead to Spurs via home to pick up Max. And we got there on time to watch B and her friends who set this up talk about the Women of the Lane, which is the supporters group that she set up.
And B was on the pitch.
And B went on the pitch while the
kids... Talking over the mic.
Yeah, yeah.
Unreal.
While the players were warming up. And I stood
there... On the big screen.
Yeah.
Let's go.
And I stood there and I listened to her. And I was like, do you know what? This is like proper inspirational stuff. And as a mother of a daughter, I was like, I so wish this stuff existed when I was Evie's age, because it fundamentally changes all of the, like, the preconceived ideas that you have about football are
totally.
So different.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
And I'm so proud of B, because she was probably really nervous, because it's like a massive 61,000 people in the stadium, right? And she's on the mic with these four other ladies talking about this supporters group that she set up. I, of course, have joined it. If you are a female Spurs fan and you are in the chat, or you know a female Spurs fan, send them over. They're called Women of the Lane. They're on Instagram and X.
If you just Googled Women of the
Lane,
they'll
come up. Yeah.
All right, good.
So sign up. And if you're going to be at the Nottingham Forest game next Sunday night, you'll be able to read all about them in the programme. So, B, you are an absolute legend. And then I took Max to meet her after the game. We had a little cuddle. Had a little catch up.
Nice.
Which was lovely. Yeah.
Excellent. Yes, congratulations, B. That is such a good initiative, particularly as there was a little bit down the lane, wasn't there, this week about
what?
Daniel Levy and him.
Well, we had a little bit of a protest as
taking
well.
Taking the concessions away for the OAPs and all that sort of stuff. So for B to get on the pitch and do that for the Women of the Lane is absolutely sensational. Love it. Love it, love it, love it. Tell us then about your experience at the football then. What actually happened on the pitch after B had done her bit? Because Luton, an early lead...
Well, at one point, I thought B was going to be the highlight.
It wasn't particularly
and she
good
was.
For a long, long period, was it?
It's weird, isn't it? Because I wasn't positive about this game at all, was I? And I've been kind of a bit like... all week. I wasn't feeling confident. And we kicked off and we were fully in attack. And I was like, all right, this is fine. And then a sloppy pass, and Luton, credit to them, to be fair, because they weren't afraid to have a go. They won the ball back, they scored, and it was one of those moments where I kind of was like, right, because you know that Luton can be, when they want to be, they can be
they
solid,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they can dig in, and it did take, so the first half, we were so... lackluster. And
what do you put that down to then? What changed at half, because I have a view on this, what changed at half time?
Well, I don't know what Postecoglou says in his half time.
It's more what he did, I thought, at half time. Substitution changed.
Well, more on that in a minute, but when he's in the change room, he must, because it's every week, forget the sub for a minute,
yeah,
we're the same every week, we tend to start off pacey, then we die off.
Yeah.
Sort of within about 5 minutes, we die down. Then we play out with a very lackluster first half. He must say something at half time. Then they go hell for leather for about 15 minutes. And then it's the last sort of 10 minutes of the game that they go again. So we said, and we were sat there and I was chatting to the guys around us. I was like, second half will come out better. And then he made the sub at half time, brought on Brennan Johnson, who... absolutely changed the game.
He did, fundamentally, yes.
He changed the game. Kulusevski was very much drifting inside. Brennan Johnson made really great use of the width of the pitch.
Yes, that's exactly what was that was the difference. Yeah.
And it made a massive, massive difference, because he was putting in balls which were challenging the Luton defence. And they, you know, the likes of, well, if Werner could finish his dinner, that would help. But Werner and Son were in the right places. Richarlison also had a couple of opportunities when he came on as well.
Yeah.
Son hit both posts. I honestly don't know how Son didn't get a hat-trick in this game. I couldn't
tell you.
The
one off of both posts was unbelievable. As a Son captain of this week, that was unbelievable that happened.
Yeah, it was just... yeah.
What are you doing with your Spurs assets? I don't want to talk about them too much, because you've got the blank. So none of us, I don't think, are bringing any in. But are you holding at least what you've got? You've got Son only?
No,
no
Udogie.
Mm-hmm. Okay, holding for now.
They're going to have two double game weeks in the last four games.
Yeah.
So when you were just saying I might go without Spurs on a wild card, I was thinking, are you mental? Because you're just going to have to bring them back in. And then you're going to be at a point where it's going to be tough. If you wild card and you don't prep for Son or a Spurs midfielder, but you have Salah and Son and Saka and Haaland, and you don't leave a spot, that's going to be a tough buyback. So for me, Udogie's a contentious point. He may go, because I don't love the Spurs fixtures. After the double is horrendous, whichever way it goes. It's either Chelsea and Liverpool, or it's Chelsea and Arsenal.
Tough, right?
So whichever place that first one goes is not great.
Yeah.
And the second one, all right, it's got Burnley in it, but it's also got Man City in it. So I don't love that either particularly. So for me, Udogi has the potential to disappear, and then maybe I bring back a different Spurs defender later on if I want to. But Son, in my head, there was a downgrade opportunity there. Son could come down to a Richie or a Madison. But having watched him perform against Luton yesterday...
So good, isn't he?
That I just don't want to go without him. And the fixtures are leading into the blank and ice. I just so bench him in the blank.
Yeah, true enough. You're coming up against, you know, away games against West Ham and Newcastle. Neither of those teams are any good at keeping goals out of their net.
No.
Like, and Forest at home. In actual fact, I would go as far as to say, defensively, Forest at home is probably the harder game. Going to West Ham and Newcastle, I just think, I'm not going to say it's easy, of course, but those teams ship goals like
you
wouldn't believe.
Particularly with the injuries that they've picked up. Yeah, Areola went off. Totally. They've obviously lost Lascelles at Newcastle. They've Wens Trippier back. But there's a lot of defensive headaches in those two clubs.
Totally. And from a Luton perspective, you ain't buying, right? And if you've got Alfie Doughty, he's now flagged in the game, but then who isn't? Quite honestly.
He didn't look great either when he went off, to be fair.
He didn't. So he's probably a sell if you've got Alfie Doughty. And if you've got anybody else, I think it's time probably to get red. And I doubt we're going to go back there for the rest of the season.
What, to Luton?
I doubt it.
Nah.
I doubt it.
Done now.
Let's do... What other teams...
I think we've got to talk about Cole Palmer and Chelsea.
Let's rattle through these then, Sam, because we're running out of time, as usual. Well, Chelsea 2, Burnley 2. What the bloody hell is going on at Chelsea Football Club? I just don't like... They'd be, without Cole Palmer, they'd be relegated, these boys.
I said that to you yesterday. I said, what I wanted to do, and I haven't had time to do it yet, is sit down and work out, if Cole Palmer hadn't been there, and I know it's all hearsay at that point, because somebody else might have scored the penalties and blah, blah, blah. But if you take away Cole Palmer's goals,
yeah,
how many games do they actually win?
Just,
like, this
honestly.
Point that they get here. I mean, Jay Rodriguez, he's... How he doesn't score right at the death and take all three points.
God.
They are 10 men.
Yeah.
It's just a 10-man Burnley. Yeah. 10-man Burnley without the manager because he's been sent off as well.
Yeah.
And they nearly nick it at the death.
Yeah. I feel so sorry for Vincent Kompany. I think after Liverpool, because we get it the worst, right?
The tiny violin's got to come back
you
out, guys.
You get your violin out if you want. VAR has screwed us over more than any other team in the league,
what,
right?
What
that's
do you
a
mean?
Fact. That's just a fact.
Okay? Are you not talking about the Spurs game again?
That's
are
a
you?
Fact.
Oh, no, not again.
It's a fact.
It was back in October or something.
Second in the September. Screwed over by VAR league is Burnley Football Club. Honestly, I mean, I'm starting to real feel sorry for these guys. What is that? That first one. He puts his hand on Mudrick's shoulder. Mudrick's on the floor as usual at Chelsea because they all just do it, don't they? That's why Cole Palmer gets so many pens. Soon as you blow on someone's ear at Chelsea, they're on the floor. Sterling, Mudrick, whoever. And then to compound matters, he gets a second yellow. He's like, what are you doing? It's not even a foul and you've just sent him off.
He stands there, the guy, gets sent, the red card comes out. And the Burnley just look absolutely shell-shocked. They just sort just, of look
and then
at each
so
other
Vincent
like,
Kompany
the...
getting sent off. I'm like, I get it.
Yeah.
He's battling relegation. You get a decision like that against you.
I know.
I then think the Cole Palmer penalty... Does, are you all right? You're a bit snotty, aren't you?
Very snotty. I'm sorry.
Are you muting your mic every time you blow your nose?
Yeah.
Fair play.
I'm sorry.
The Cole Palmer penalty, and I know you Chelsea fans all like the little penenka. I didn't like it.
It was cheeky.
Because it's cheeky. And I think Burnley went in at half-time and went, we've been stitched up by refs
manager's
again.
Sent off.
Manager's been sent off. We are pissed off. And you've just penenka'd us, mate. We're not having that. And I think they went out there and they played Burnley.
But also, the thing is with Burnley...
I thought it was great. It's such a good reaction from Burnley.
But Burnley are a tough... Like, you know, they might not be a fancy, skilly football club.
Cool. Tell that to Josh Cullen. What a goal.
But they are...
See
well,
that?
Right, fair play. But they are tough. Do you know what I mean? They're physical. They're tough. Chelsea can't cope with physical and tough. Because that's not how... That's not them, right? They... Honestly, it was bad. And I've got double Chelsea. No, I haven't. I've got triple Chelsea. That's right. I've trebled up on this load
you've got
of
Petrovic,
nonsense.
Haven't you, as
because
well.
I got Petrovic because I wanted a goalie for 37. So in came Petrovic.
You've got Petrovic and Pickford as your two keepers.
Yeah.
What were you smoking last week? Have you just decided goalkeepers are just going to be a
it's just a block.
It's just get a mental block.
No. What's the point of them? Well, whoever I pick is going to get two or one. So let's just at this point go cheap as possible, have them there and be done with them.
Anyway, let's get back to FPL.
But my point was that most managers who wildcarded last week will have done the same as me. They will have looked at Chelsea's fixtures. Yeah, they'd have looked at Chelsea's fixtures and
gone... I got Gusto in this week, didn't I?
Well, so did I.
For Moreno, who got a clean sheet.
Well, we'll have to find out how bad the Gusto thing is. There was a video of the physios feeding him electrolytes on the pitch, which suggests...
Feeding what now?
Electrolytes, you know, like...
The gels?
Yeah.
Right.
Which suggests...
All right, doctor. Suddenly you're a physio. What's going on here?
Yeah, I am.
Electrolytes?
I'm qualified, you know.
You've read something online.
No, I watched the video.
All right,
and then I actually did. I did read some stuff online about it because I was like, "Oh my god, is my wildcard team falling apart?" When Lascelles has got his ACL done and Watkins has gone off with a hammy, and I was
Can we hurry this up? No one's getting Chelsea assets because they're crap and they've got Arsenal in 34. So
is that actually I think with Gusto there was a suggestion that maybe it's not that bad because they were trying to get him to play on and maybe it was cramp rather than an actual hammy.
So it might not be so bad.
So we just
got
to wait and see. So I think if you've got Gusto, you probably can afford to just bench on midweek because he's not going to play midweek, I don't think, and wait and see. Cole Palmer remains, you just have to play him because, like you said, they'll fall over for a penalty next week and they get another one.
I just think they're a laughing stock, Chelsea, honestly. And next year, like people, the chat are saying, what's Cole Palmer's price next year? Well, it depends where he is, guys, because if he won't be at Chelsea Football Club, they've got to sell their top players, otherwise, they're in trouble with FFP, aren't they? They are not. And this is a whole podcast in itself, but they're 2 years into their three-year cycle and you're allowed to lose under FFP 105 million over 3 years and they're losing something like 250. So they've got to go from the first 2 years where they've lost like 130, 140 million a year to being plus 150, 160 million a year with no Champions League football. How are they going to do that? Well, there's only one way they're going to do it. Is they're going to sell their players.
Lee, it's not without Champions League football. They're not going to make Europe.
Yeah, we don't get any money for being in Europa League, do you? It's Champions League.
You get some, though.
Not 150 million.
No, you don't get 150 million, but you get some. They're not going to make the conference either the way they're going.
And I'll tell you what, the Chelsea fans are going to hate me for this. There were some empty seats in that stadium at the weekend as well. Empty seats.
Yeah.
There's going to start to be... I'm looking forward to next year and the unravelling of Chelsea Football Club.
Well, the thing is that if they... And they can't afford to get rid of Poch. They can't sack him.
Well, they can't sack him because that's another 20 million they've
got
to pay.
They have to pay compensation, yeah.
It's the only reason he's still there. Honestly, it's a joke.
But anyway, get Cole Palmer and keep him.
Just get Cole. He's just so good, isn't he? He's so good. Who else, Sam? We got to talk about this bit of a... It was a bit of a snooze fest in the end. City 0, Arsenal 0.
Both of them not wanting to lose. That was the trouble.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of risks being taken in this game today, was there? Which is kind of understandable given where they're at. Arsenal obviously are going to be a team that we're continuing to invest in and target because the fixtures look great. Now that this one is kind of out of the way, if you like. They've got the double game week coming up. I read online that was only the second time in something like, I don't know, it's like, what was it, like 60, 70 home games that City haven't scored. So the other team have kept a clean sheet. So fair play to Arsenal. They did have periods in this game where they could have won it. But it just, if anything, underlined what we already know about Arsenal, which is their defence is really, really good.
Yeah, they defended well.
Yeah.
It wasn't the best game in the world.
No. City assets, Haaland, Foden for those that have got, Villa coming up at home next, then Luton in 33. In fact, let's just flick to the fixtures. So City, Villa, Palace, Luton, single game week, Forest, Wolves and what have you next. So it does look pretty blue, but and double in 34.
No, but there will be the double in 37.
37 for City, yeah. So there is a double coming up later on. So it's a brave FPL manager that sells Haaland, isn't it?
I'm be selling Haaland.
Do you concede though that is now a conversation?
No.
Do you not?
No.
Because all this season it's been we're not even asking the question.
Yeah.
I think there will be some content creators, and I'm pretty sure we'll get asked on the FPL show on Monday. What about Haaland now? Keep or sell? The question will be there now.
Well, my answer will be very clear. You keep.
Okay.
I just don't...
Even if the question's there.
I just, for me, the surefire way to ruin the end of your season is to sell Haaland. Because yeah, one return against Luton and you're done.
Civilian X is saying exactly that. He says, Haaland's form makes me uncomfortable with his cost. Yeah, me and you both, mate. But how do you go without him, question mark? Because you're right. He could pop up with a couple of goals, a penalty and a goal against Aston Villa and you're screwed.
And you're done. And the thing is, you should never rule... Like, the title... I love this Premier League season for so many reasons. The Champions League spots are wide open with Villa and Spurs. The Europa League, the Conference League spots are wide open. The fact that the... that Liverpool and West Ham and Man City and Arsenal and all these guys are doing well in Europe. All of that is boding well for the fifth spot in the league, getting Champions League next year. The relegation battle is absolutely massive. So the league is like nothing settled.
It's all competitive still.
Including the title, which I'm so here for. And the fact that Man City and Arsenal drew today means that all three of you are still in it. You've got advantage, I think. But all three of you are still in it. So City, Arsenal, Liverpool. No one can afford to rest players. Everyone's got to go all in to win this. At the same time, Manchester City have got to go out, and Arsenal, and try and win the Champions League.
Yeah. And, so don't sell Haaland, you're saying?
Yeah. So I just don't think...
And Foden, a keep? At his price, he's a keep, isn't he?
Well, probably. I mean, I don't have Foden. He's probably the City sacrifice I'm making.
Yeah.
But there you are.
Yeah. All right, let's enough said about that game, really. I think if you've got assets from either of these sides, they are keeps because they're both good teams. What's what else is there to say?
I apologise for my nose. I should have taken some more tablets before we started. I think they've worn off.
I think as long as you're muting the mic, it's not coming through too badly.
It probably is, I'm sorry.
We did warn at the beginning of the stream, it would be a bit of a sniffly one. Let's talk about your mate then, Anthony Gordon. Newcastle 4, West Ham 3, in what can only be described as a bonkers game.
What was this game
on Saturday lunchtime? Whoever said the Saturday lunchtime games are boring, because this absolutely was not boring. West Ham 3-1 up. Only to lose it 4-3. Anthony Gordon with a sensational performance. I have to say, I thought it was a brilliant, brilliant performance. I thought he was, don't come at me, I thought he was a little bit fortunate to get his FPL points.
Why?
Because he was fouled for two penalties for the assists. And the assist for Harvey Barnes' goal was just a sideways pass. And it's a great strike from Harvey Barnes. But he could have scored with a header in the first half. His performance definitely warranted the points, if that makes sense.
It could have been a 20-pointer for him.
It could have been. And that's why I'm not getting too out of my tree about it, about the fact that he ended up with 8, because actually, his performance warranted more than 8. I'm just saying the way that he got his points was a little bit jammy. But if you go step out of the game a little bit and just look at his performance, he was very, very good. And actually, the red card, as an owner, must have been so frustrating, because... He kicks the ball away, and the referee, if you watch the video back, the referee goes, oh, he's kicked the ball away, yeah, that's a yellow, silly boy.
I don't think the ref knows it's Anthony Gordon when he refs
it. No, he doesn't. He just goes, oh, he's kicked the ball away, that's a yellow, stupid. Oh, it's Anthony Gordon. He's really been, but that's a red then, mate, you're off.
I don't think he reads him. Like, I think if he looks up and sees it's Anthony Gordon, I think he gives him a look.
He's just seen the ball being kicked away and gone, oh, that's stupid.
If the ref actually looks at who it is before the card leaves
already
the pocket...
Already got his card out of his pocket, isn't
he? He probably thinks that's just stupid.
Yeah.
And he probably gives him a warning.
Agreed.
Because he doesn't boot it into the stands. He just taps it away.
There's no West Ham players going, oh, he's kicked the ball away.
No.
Either. It's just the ref seeing the ball and he's just gone, silly boy, like that, isn't he? And he's
I must admit, I was fuming.
Yeah.
And I was fuming for multiple reasons.
How many games did he miss now?
It's just one, isn't it?
One game ban, okay.
But it's still very annoying.
Yeah.
Because he's also... So he moved his yellow card. So I can't work out whether, like... I'm annoyed he misses this home game. I would rather he miss the Fulham away game because I wasn't going to play him for that anyway.
Yeah.
So now he's going to come...
Everton at home, you want him for that, don't you?
Yeah. And, of course, the second yellow becoming a red means he goes back to being on 8 yellows. So the chance of him picking up another suspension also goes back in again.
Oh, sure, yeah,
so
yeah,
I'm
sure.
Just sort of like, Anthony, you are doing my nutting. Because you've been brilliant. And I was like, this is... with my wildcard active, having lost Lascelles in the first half an hour, whatever time that was, for a one-pointer, I was like...
Frustrating.
Is this going to be a wild card that I like?
Yeah, yeah.
So then Anthony Gordon getting three assists, I was like, this is literally perfect.
Yeah.
Then when my sofa score on my phone tells me that he gets sent off, I was like, you're taking a mick now, aren't you?
Yeah.
And I was annoyed until I saw it, and then I was fuming because I was like, you can't get sent off for that.
Yeah. So that's Anthony Gordon. I mean, Harvey Barnes being back, he sort of shifted Gordon out to the other wing, didn't he, when Harvey Barnes came on? And actually, if anything, it just made Gordon an even better asset. He was so good coming in and cutting in on that left, on his left foot. Yeah. Brilliant, brilliant. I think he's a top player, Anthony Gordon.
It made Isak a better option as well.
Well, yeah. So here's the comment. Here's the conversation we need to have, really, is that, you know, a lot will be looking at Ollie Watkins now. And if he has got a bit of a hamstring injury, you know, some will be looking at Darwin, but I, for one, I'm be looking at Isak. Mm-hmm. Particularly, I mean, Everton at home next. Everton are rubbish, by the way. Absolute guff. And then you've got, what, Fulham, Spurs is difficult. Then it's a single game week, Crystal Palace. But they come out of that to Sheffield United, Burnley. The fixtures, so again, just flick back to the fixtures.
But this is
they
what
look really, really good. Isak for the rest of the season could be a really nice pick.
But most people will be making a straight choice between a doubling player for 34 and Isak.
Yeah, this is the thing,
so
isn't
for
it?
Me, when I was looking at a Watkins replacement, and we'll get to our teams in a minute, I was like, well, yeah, Isak is looking attractive. However, I would prefer to invest in somebody that's got a double in 34, knowing that that person that's got a double in 34 won't then have a double in 37, so they can become Isak later. Because the other issue I have with Isak is that you don't miss out on much by not investing until 35. There's a few fixtures in there, namely Everton at the weekend.
This weekend.
But the other fixtures, I think, are against defences that can be tighter.
I think you could wait
to 35, invest in 35 for that lovely run of fixtures that also includes the double game week. The other issue I have is that he is so injury prone that, yes, you can say, oh, I'll get Isak till the end of the season.
That's a Newcastle problem, though.
But will he actually make it till the end of the season? And I know you can't odds that and you can't plan for that. But for me, I'm looking at it going, my priority at the moment is 34. So who's got nice fixtures in the build-up to 34 and has a double in 34? And then 35 through 39 is a different phase of play. That's where Isak's going to be in for me.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I think it's closer than that, though. I just think Isak, he's nailed on, whereas Darwin, if that's the person you're comparing him to with this double game week chat, isn't.
Well, it's going to be Jesus as well.
Think.
He was back in the starting
Yeah, today. Jesus as well, potentially. But Isak nailed on penalties.
Mateta.
You're having Isak over Mateta and Jesus, aren't you? For me, it's Isak and Darwin are the two. I don't know. I just think he's a really good pick, and I'm not sure many people have got him. I think he's really nice. The one thing I will say is that Anthony Gordon being out of that Everton game is bad news for Isak. Harvey Barnes, God love him, loves a shot, doesn't he? He loves a shot, and he carries a bit of goal threat because of it. And actually, don't mind him as an FPL differential for this week. Not sure, because of the Gordon thing, whether I'd bring him into my FPL team. But if someone said to me, you want a 1 week punt in 31, I'd say Harvey Barnes right now.
Like a challenge.
Like an FPL challenge, potentially. But when Gordon's back in, Gordon is so good for Isak because Gordon's just so clever with his assists and his creativity. He was unbelievable the weekend. And, of course, he gets into those areas where they just, you know, every time he got in the box, Gordon, they were crapping it, weren't they? They're absolutely crapping it, West Ham. West Ham love giving away penalties as well. Absolutely love giving away penalties. Who's up next against West Ham? Son. Which is why, another reason, I might not want to sell Son. So that's Newcastle versus West Ham. I've not got much to say about West Ham other than Calvin Phillips.
Areola injured?
What are you playing at, Calvin? I honestly don't know what has happened to this kid. He was really good at Leeds. And since he's left Leeds, he's just been really unlucky with injuries. But also, what's he doing? Like, the touch in the box is a nightmare.
I get it. He was terrible. But he has been really unlucky with injury. He should never have moved to City. It was one of those moves where it just was never likely to be a first choice starter. And I think it's massively affected his confidence. He's gone to West Ham.
He's having a shocker.
And the West Ham fans are on his back all the time, as you would be,
because
he's having a shocker. It's a nightmare. And Areola got injured. And Bowen and Kudos trolled everybody.
Yeah. The free hit 29 team was doing quite well at 3-1, wasn't it? With Kudos and Bowen going off.
Bowen was the second most transferred out player in game week 13.
Was he? Yeah. Oh, my God. That's it, Sam. We haven't got time to run for any more other than Villa played very, very well. Konsa didn't mean it, but fair play to anyone that had Konsa. I think Praz had Konsa, yeah. So fair play, 15 points. Very nice. And it was a nice finish by Diaby. I like that. That was very, very good. What else to say? Dom Solanke popped up with another goal against Everton, so don't write him off. I know a lot, including yourself, sold him on wildcard.
But I sold him for Muniz.
But many were selling for your man Muniz, who up until the 93rd minute was looking all right in the game and then pulls out what can only be described as a worldie of an overhead kick.
Was that 8-8 now? And an assist.
8-8, Muniz. Unbelievable. It's so, so good. Dirt cheap in FPL, as we know. And if we look at the Fulham fixtures going forward, they ain't too bad. Forest, Newcastle, West Ham. Now, we've just talked about how bad West Ham and Newcastle's defences are. Well, Forest, okay, not bad. You don't like him for the double in 34 because he's only got one game and it's Liverpool. But then out of that, into Palace, Brentford, Luton on the final day. I don't mind Muniz. If you want to go there, absolutely go there. I've got nothing against the Muniz shout at all. He's absolutely in great, great form. Those are the games, Sam. I just realised that I was on the fixtures page. There's me flicking through all the scores on this page. And I was sitting on fixtures. Sorry, guys. There we go. That is the fixtures. Let's just give a quick shout out for all of our Patreon supporters. So we've got a whole load of you in this evening. So thank you for everyone that joins us over on patreon.com/FPL family. If you want exclusive podcasts, if you want access to Wilco's love life in the Slack, if you want Zoom calls with us, as we've been doing quite a lot of the last couple of weeks.
If you want to hear about Si's multiple hits every week.
If you want to hear about Si Badet's fairly unorthodox approach to FPL. FPL Challenge is basically for Si Badet, isn't it?
I think we should have called it that. I think we should have called it FPL Nigel the Crab.
Yeah.
Because it feels like a game.
And thanks to everybody in the Slack for giving me loads of sympathy last week when I ruined FPL Challenge for the whole of the community. I appreciate that. That was a mistake that I won't be making again. So FPL Family, patreon.com/FPL family is where you can find a bit more of me and Sam in your lives if you want podcasts and competitions and Zooms and all that sort of stuff. Let's have a look at our teams, Sam, then, and how we got on. I'll go first because it wasn't particularly good. It's a red arrow, an overall rank change of -24%. I've gone down from about 47K to about 56K. So it's not the end of the world. Given that I didn't wildcard this week, it's not the end of the world. I got my captaincy... Did I get captaincy right? Because I did consider Palmer. Obviously, I got the vice on him, so I did consider it. I sort of feel like if Palmer was 9 million, I'd consider him for captaincy more.
No, right.
Weird, isn't it?
If Palmer was playing for Liverpool or Spurs, you'd have had him in the armband. It's because it's
stupid,
Chelsea.
It's stupid.
Because I don't trust Chelsea. That's my issue with Palmer.
But Chelsea at home to Burnley, you're just like, yeah, just captain him. Why would you not do that? I don't know. Anyway, I got caught up in the Sun hype. Which wasn't incorrect, right? Because actually he was unlucky not to get more than 10, but... In the end, I was happy with the Son return. Solanke coming in as well was good. I just called the Arsenal game wrong, didn't I? I just called it wrong. I went for... I fancied City to beat Arsenal today. I fancied City. Didn't happen. So instead of Foden and Haaland getting me points, Gabriel and Saliba are sitting on my bench for a combined 13, which it is what it is. It hurts, but I made a call and I got it wrong. So therefore, if you make a wrong call, you get a red arrow. You have to take it, right? So 55 points, down to 56K. Potential for wild card.
Maybe.
Over the next 48 hours. And I've got a little draft that I've put together, which, as I was putting it together, made me think, I shouldn't be doing this. But I'll share it with you anyway.
That's interesting because that's normally quite a telling thing. So when you start, because that's what made me do it the week before, is that I started building it. I was like, it's no different. Let's just do it.
But look at these flags, Sam. Look at the flags.
Yeah. But...
So not only have I got a transfer in midfield that I want to make because I want Salah.
Yeah.
I've got, you know, Areola is a problem. I've got Watkins is a problem.
Yeah,
Doherty's a problem. Gusto's a problem.
But you don't.
Saka and Gabriel not problems, as we found out today.
But Areola's not a problem because you've got Dubravka. So he is an issue, but he just sits there. You can play Saliba.
I don't think Dubravka's an answer, though, do you? You're not the answer.
No, but against Everton.
Nor is Petrovic or Pickford, by the way, but still. The Pravkas are not the answer. You can't say Ariola's injured, but you're okay. You've got one of the worst keepers in the league.
But he's going to play, was my point.
Oh, great.
So you don't have to make a goalie transfer. That's my point.
Right.
If Gusto and Doughty, well, Doughty's not going to make it. If Gusto doesn't make it, then you want to play Saliba and Gabriel anyway. So that's really not an issue either. They can go on the bench. Watkins, who's your other bench player? Saka. Oh, well, you want to play Saka anyway. So just shove Watkins Saka, on the bank. Yeah. On the bank? On the beach? On the beach? On the bench? So, oh, my God.
On the bank and on the beach? Are you all right, love?
Oh, no.
What's going on?
Well, I don't think I am, Lee.
You need an early night, you.
My point is that the players that you've got flagged aren't the end of the world.
Watkins is the one, isn't he? Watkins is the one. I'm with you. The initial reports seem to suggest that Gusto might miss Man United, but look, I want him for after that, right?
Yeah.
But Watkins, if he's going to miss City, again, not the end of the world, so I probably would have benched him anyway.
Yeah.
But if he's going to miss Brentford next weekend, then we're going to be going into a run where it's Arsenal, single game week, Chelsea, Brighton, Liverpool. I don't think I want Watkins for that run, you know.
No.
I don't think I want him. So, therefore...
Just take a -4 then.
Do I do something about that? Anyway, we'll talk about that in just a second. The chat's saying Sam wishes she was on the beach. This is what it was. You wish you were on the beach. Or at the bank. You know, either one. Just
well,
not on the bench.
It depends what I was going to the bank for, to be honest.
Let's talk about how your wild card did then, Sam. So you are up a little bit, which is good. 253k, so 62 on the wild card. There's a couple of unluckies in there, isn't there? Because Gordon, definitely unlucky to get, you know, not only the red, but missing out on bonus points as a result. Udogi potentially could have got a bit more, you know, double Chelsea defence at home to Burnley. You're expecting that to come in. Lascelles gets injured. It's a little bit of unluckiness in there, but 62 is all right. It's all right.
Do you know, with a wild card, if you get a green on the back of a wild card, I always think that's a bit of a success, because normally it takes a couple of weeks, because the wild card isn't just for that week. You plan it for,
yeah,
you know, the next few. So the fact that it was green straight away was good. Yesterday, I shouldn't have checked, because last night the rank gain was massive. And I was like, right, Salah goes off tomorrow. Haaland does something and wipes out the Arsenal clean sheet. And we're laughing.
Yeah, yeah.
As it happens, Salah...
Were you on quite a big green this time yesterday?
Yeah, like 85k.
I was 28k this time yesterday.
It was like an 85k.
But I'd had most of my team playing. I didn't have Salah or any Arsenal playing.
Yeah,
so I knew it was going to take some hits.
So I was up 85k to two. I was on about 200k.
Yeah.
And I had my captain to play in Salah.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, as long as Haaland scores or someone wipes out the Arsenal clean sheet, there's not that many players out that can hurt me, apart from Saka being on the bench. Salah... I don't think I've ever felt as frustrated watching a player as I did today watching Salah. I was just like, are you joking? Like,
yeah, all them shots, right?
All them shots. Because this was the week. This was the week I wanted to captain him, because he was going to be a good differential, because not as many people owned him. He was 85%.
People will be getting it going there now, won't they? Yeah,
exactly.
If not wildcard, then you'll find a way to get him now.
He was at 85% EO. I was like, this is ideal. Yeah. Under 100 for my captain. Perfect. Like, go off. 2 or 3 goals, we're laughing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
didn't look like it half time though, did it?
No, but the second half it really did look like he was
gonna.
Yeah.
The Bruggen save was the key one.
Yeah.
How he's got down to that. If you get a couple of goals out of Mo, then you're getting bonus points as well, aren't you?
Yeah. And so I do feel like it feels a bit like the one that got away.
Yeah.
Fair enough. It's a green, which is the important thing. We turned a corner on the terribleness that's been the last few weeks.
A lot of flags in this team now, though, Sam.
Not really. I mean, Anthony Gordon's flagged because he got sent off, so he's going to miss midweek. Fine. It's annoying. He can go on the bench for this week. Obviously, I'm going to want to play Saliba and Saka, so they come back in. The flag obviously disappears off of them, because we know that
they're fine.
So really, the flags are on Watkins. More on that in a minute. Lascelles and Gusto. Well, we've spoken a lot about Gusto. He's going to just sit on the bench because I'm hopeful that we're not going to lose him for too long.
Cheeky little Aiden Nouri sitting there. Didn't notice you sneak him in on your wild card. That's a nice little pick. Got Burnley next week.
Yeah,
or next game week.
I just snuck in a bit of Aiden Nouri love.
Don't mind that.
I did that quite late. Got him instead of Zaburni.
So who would you be talking about now? You'd have Udogi, Saliba, Aiden Nouri. That seems fine.
It's So I'm actually fine. All right. Like, I'm actually fine. Yeah, yeah.
With Gusto maybe coming back for the week after, let's see.
Yeah, with Gusto maybe coming back for the week after. Anthony Gordon's on the bench. Yeah, Saka's in his place. I'm actually fine because I've already made a transfer.
Tell us about your transfer. You've done Watkins to Darwin, haven't you?
Yeah, because, well, it was planned. That was planned anyway.
It makes sense.
I planned to do that anyway. I said that all week, that if I kept Watkins, and I was very torn, and even up until we went live on Sky, there was a moment where I was sat in makeup on Saturday where I was like, just do Darwin now.
Yeah.
Just do it now. I know that Watkins has got a nice fixture at home to Wolves, but just save a transfer and do it now. And in the end, I just was like, I will kick myself.
He goes off against Wolves, yeah.
I will kick myself because I've held him for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I can't do it now. So I didn't. I put my phone on aeroplane mode and then promptly forgot to take it off aeroplane mode all the way home, didn't
you
I?
You did actually, yeah. The notifications were real, weren't they?
When it came back. And I just was like, I can't. I've got to turn my phone off and I've got to leave it. But the intention was always, even if Watkins had gone off yesterday, even if he got a hat trick against Wolves, I was always planning to sell him for Darwin. I wanted, and I was hoping and praying, because Darwin was around a price wise yesterday, and I was like, no, I don't want that, because I want him to play before I do it.
Yeah, yeah.
As soon as he went off today, I did it.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I knew he was all right then. So, I've done good Darwin move. In. I've got my two Liverpool now. So now I'm doubled up on Arsenal. I'm doubled up on Liverpool. That gives me a couple of weeks to work out how do I treble up on those two if I want to. Puts me in a position where I've already bought Ait Nouri in, so I've got him for the double as well. I feel like the team is nicely set.
Like it. And it's not a million miles away from what I'm thinking for wildcards. So this is, I just did this like a few minutes before coming on. Like, and again, as I was putting it together, I was thinking, I'm not really making massive changes here. Like, there's a lot here, which is away. Say again?
Is that only four changes?
It's only four changes, yeah. So a lot of it is moving away from Spurs and towards Liverpool. So it would be Son to Salah. So I'd do that. I'd do Richarlison to Luis Diaz. I'd do Watkins to Darwin. And then I can't even remember. Oh, it's Alfie Doughty. So Alfie Doughty to Ait Nouri. And then while I'm there, because why not, I'd get rid of Areola and get Verbruggen in, because I think Brighton have a double in 37, or at least projected to.
Not worried about Steele? Because he's rotating them all the time.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. But so again, I'm looking at this going, you know, my team for next week would have the three. So my three Arsenal, and I'm very happy to do Gabriel and Saliba at home to Luton.
Yeah.
That's absolutely fine to double up Arsenal defence. And then have Saka sitting there. Son to Salah, I'd do. Richarlison to Diaz. It feels a bit luxury, doesn't it? It doesn't feel like you need to pop your wild card to do that. Watkins to Darwin. I could definitely see me doing that. But for a hit. I wouldn't need to do it for a wild card. I could do it for a hit. So I'm kind of thinking, well, do I just go that for a hit, or do I go wild card and get Ait Nouri and Luis Diaz for Doughty and Richarlison? No, probably not.
If you did,
I just feel like Richarlison could be just as good against West Ham as Diaz would be. I do fancy Diaz against Sheffield United, but I don't know. A lot of people saying get Muniz for Solanke. I'm not feeling it, you know. I'm not feeling it. I just think Dom is, you know, you've got Palace at home, then Luton, which is, I think, the Luton game has got, that's his sort of game where it's a physical game. He'll do well against Luton. Manchester United at home. You know, I've already said about, you know, United going away. United did not, they just didn't want to be there in Brentford this weekend. No. They are not going to want to be in Bournemouth. So I can see Solanke getting something out of that game. He's on penalties as well, Solanke. He's not really doing anything in my team to make me want to take him out.
I don't think you can wildcard for four players.
No, it doesn't make sense, does it? It's just not worth it.
Because the thing is, if you really want Darwin, Watkins to Darwin's going to save you somewhere in the region of a million. 1.1, 1.2, 1.0, depending upon when you bought Watkins.
Yeah.
Salah, you've got money in the bank, the exact money, right, to go from Salah to Son. So there's not quite enough money to go from Richarlison to Salah instead by saving the money, which is a shame.
I could go from Watkins to Muniz, and that would give me Richarlison to Salah.
And keep Son.
Keep Son. Maybe. But I don't know. The point of putting this together was, should I wildcard or not this week? And at the moment, it's no.
Not if you would only make those changes.
I'm not. And this is it. This is the changes I'm going to make. Right. That midfield, Foden, Palmer, Salah, Saka, I'm cool with that. I don't want to change that.
You wouldn't? Okay, that's interesting.
I don't think I want to change that. Would you make any changes to that?
I'd probably sell Foden.
Foden. Yeah, you see, I wouldn't do that. Aston Villa and Luton at home, the next three, you just can't do it. And even the single game week in 34 with Brighton, I know they got a 0-0 today, but he's been so good this season. I just don't think I would do that. And Richarlison, Richarlison, he's had a couple of games now where he's come on a sub. Surely he gets a start against West Ham. Do you think he does or no? Because when he does, I just think he's going to be fired up for Charleston.
I don't know whether he's 100. So he came on for like 10 minutes at the end of the game. He came on in about 85.
Yeah.
He was fine. He got in some good places. He didn't look 100% fit. And my issue is that I don't think he is 100% fit.
They're being careful with him, aren't they?
I think whatever is up with him, they're treating him with kid gloves. And I think in part, that's because we've got this midweek fixture. That's why Mickey van der Ven, I think, didn't start the weekend. And I was like, where's Mickey?
And he's just being careful, isn't he? Which is the right thing.
Which is the right thing. And I think what we will see, I think on Tuesday, when we play again, we'll see Mickey van der Ven in the starting 11. I would not be surprised to not see Richarlison in the starting 11. I think we'll see Brennan Johnson in the starting 11 because I think he earned it after the weekend, the difference he made. I wouldn't be at all surprised to see Richarlison come on about 60 minutes, get a run in, and then start in game week 32.
Yeah, which I don't mind because that's Forest at home. Yeah. If he started Forest at home, I'd be happy with that. And like I say, you know, I keep going back to it. These are three defences that Spurs can definitely get at, no doubt about it, which again makes me feel a bit bad about not having Son. But I've got to have Mo. I just think you've got to have Mo for the next couple of weeks.
You can't have everybody.
And you can't have everybody. So that's what I'm thinking. And again, the Son to Salah move, on paper, I hate it because of the way that Son's playing. But in the I've got to look bigger picture. And it makes much more sense to have Mo over the next 3 weeks, including 34, where he's got two games compared to Son zero. I've got to make that move, I think.
So basically what you're doing here, if you don't do this now, is you're setting your team up for a 35 wildcard.
I will be 35 wildcard almost certainly.
Because you're going to have almost to get certainly. You're going to have to get some Spurs back in.
Yeah. And if I didn't wildcard this week, my team still looks pretty good for 31, right? So as I said before, my three Arsenal are there. I've got Zabanyi, who's going to be home to Palace, which I don't mind. Gusto probably going to be on the bench, fit or otherwise, probably going to be on the bench. I've got Doughty that would be there, probably on the bench as well, almost certainly would be on the bench if he's fit or otherwise, whatever, because he's got Arsenal away as the fixture. I'd then have Richarlison, which would be the question mark. I'd play Foden, Palmer, Salah and Saka. That's no issue. And then I'd play Solanke, who's got this nice game at home to Palace. Obviously, I'd play Haaland. And then Watkins would probably be my sub as well. So my bench would probably be Watkins, Gusto and Doughty. So it does leave me a little bit... A little bit light because I wouldn't have much cover there. All three injured on the bench. So if Richarlison doesn't get any game time.
No, that doesn't happen. He doesn't get no game
time.
Well,
let's assume that he comes on for a 10-minute cameo. Then I'm only getting that 10 minutes out of him. Whereas I could maybe bench him if I don't think he's going to start and then start Watkins. But I don't think Watkins is going to be fit. Mm. I think it does leave me a little bit light. So I don't 100% mind doing Watkins to Darwin.
For a minus four. I'd do that.
I think I will do it. And I will hold the wild card for game week 35.
Bench Richarlison.
And probably bench Richarlison, yeah. Probably.
I'd do that.
As first sub. That's what I'm thinking.
I just don't think Richie gets a start.
It's just not worth the wild card, is it? It's not worth wildcarding for that.
My general view is that you've got to have at least five. I also think that Verbruggen is a terrible pick. Like, I know that I can't talk about goalkeepers, but Steele's been playing every other game. I don't think you can go for the Brighton goalkeepers because you never know which one of them's going to get the start.
No. So I think my mind's made up. I just wanted to put this out there because I know there will be some of you that will be thinking maybe wildcard this week. I think there's a lot that are considering it after the big double in 35. And like I said, I've still got the bench boost. I want to play that in 37. So I want to keep the two of them quite close if I can. So I don't at this moment in time I'm 95% not wildcarding.
Fair enough.
But I'm almost certainly going to do Son to Salah. Almost certainly, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to do Watkins to Darwin as well for a hit.
Yeah, fair enough.
So I'm going to go Liverpool attack for this next sort of 3 or 4 weeks is where I'm going with it. That's it, Sam, for this evening. Tell everyone what's coming up this week.
So tomorrow I'm going to go take a load of tablets, get myself an early night, because tomorrow, first thing in the morning, I'm recording with Jules and Kelly, the latest episode of the FPL pod.
Nice.
That'll be out very tomorrow good. Afternoon. Very good. And then once I finish doing that, we're going to drop the kids off, and then Lee and I are off to the PLP to record the fantasy show together. We're going back to the studio together.
Excellent.
Every time we seem to go to the studio together, one of us seems to have some sort of
ailment. I was really ill last time.
You were really ill last time.
Not well.
I actually feel, if you think I'm snuffly and annoying tonight, I'm like a million times better than I was this morning. Like, I feel much, much brighter tonight. So tomorrow is a very, very busy day for us. And then the back end of the week, you'll be able to catch Az and I back on the Q&A. There'll obviously be an Ohana podcast for our patrons. And Lee and I are back on Sky Sports News on Saturday.
Are we on Sky again Saturday?
Yes, we're on Sky again on Saturday. Back-to-back visits to Sky. Possibly that's why I'm not feeling 100%, because I've just run myself into the ground over the last couple of weeks. But yeah, it's going to be a busy week. And of course, the kids are off school for the Easter holidays. So
wonderful.
The juggle is real this week.
Wonderful.
But it's going to be an exciting week of FPL content. And of course, we'll keep putting out stuff on our channels, on Instagram, on Twitter, and on TikTok.
Awesome.
And on Facebook as well.
Awesome. All right, guys. Well, there we go. That is the stream for tonight. Thank you very much for joining us. Leave us a like before you go. All the usual spiel applies. Hit that subscribe button if you're new around here. Well done in game week 30. Well done for navigating it. Wildcarders. And well done for getting through it, non-wildcarders. We are going headfirst into game week 31. The deadline, Sam, is Tuesday.
Yes, 6 o'clock.
At what time? 6 p.m. UK time on Tuesday. So do not think, and I know that none of you will, but do not think that you've got a week until game week 31. We haven't. It's Tuesday.
And also, don't forget, the challenge this week is forwards. It's quadruple Darwin time.
It's quadruple Darwin time on FPL Challenge. For those of you that are playing FPL Challenge, your forwards points count double this week.
Correct.
So if you captain a forward, you get double points. Quadruple Nunes points, people. Let's go.
Oh my gosh.
I'm looking forward to that. Guys, well done in game week 30, and we'll see you next time. Cheers.
Bye, everybody.